I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's January 23rd, and we have a lot to talk about. Living well with MS often means planning ahead. Maybe it's reserving energy early in the day because you want to be cheering on the sideline at your son's or daughter's soccer game in the afternoon. It might mean cutting that trip to the beach short because you don't want to risk overheating. Or it could mean making a call to confirm that a particular venue is accessible when you're planning a trip. Planning ahead doesn't solve everything, but it can make so many activities and events easier to navigate. And that's exactly why it's so vitally important to plan ahead when it comes to your health insurance. Understanding what your annual deductible will be, knowing where your disease-modifying therapy falls on your insurance company's formulary, knowing whether your doctor is in-network, and then if circumstances change and cause you to lose the insurance provided by your employer, understanding what your options are. Joining me to talk about the ins and outs of managing your health insurance when you're living with MS is MS Navigator and Insurance Resources Specialist, Carla Turchik. But before we get to my conversation with Carla, there are a few other things that you should know about. Evidence shows that exercise and physical activity can improve your mood, reduce relapse rates, and improve cognition. I try to remind you about the evidence-based benefits of exercise and physical activity because that's something anyone living with MS can do for themselves. It doesn't require a pill or an infusion or an injection. It doesn't even require a prescription. And you can do it without leaving the house. But recently published study results also serve as a reminder that all physical activity doesn't deliver the same benefit. Researchers wanted to look at the cognitive benefits a person might derive from the kind of physical activity they might normally do throughout the day. So they recruited 147 people living with MS who underwent an assessment of their cognitive function and wore an accelerometer for 7 days. Now, an accelerometer is a device that measures and tracks your body's acceleration throughout the day. The research team took this data and performed a series of mathematical analyses to identify associations between physical activity and cognitive outcomes. And the researchers determined that significant improvement in cognitive processing speed and verbal learning and memory were associated with high-intensity step rate for a period of 30 minutes or more. There was little to no improvement in cognitive performance associated with step count. So it's not necessarily the number of steps you take per day. It's about the rate at which those steps are being taken. So try to get those steps in every day. But getting some of your steps in at a faster pace for at least 30 minutes has been shown to be a difference maker in improving cognitive performance among people who are living with MS. And if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Early-stage biotech company Mirobalan Therapeutics has secured $24 million in funding to support the development of 3 oral medications for multiple sclerosis and other diseases of the central nervous system. The company's pipeline includes 3 candidate therapies that target demyelination and neuroinflammation. One therapy targets a brain protein that acts as a natural brake on oligodendrocytes. Now, those are the cells that produce myelin. Well, this experimental therapy releases that brake, promoting the production of new myelin. Another experimental therapy targets a brain protein that helps microglia to function normally. Microglia are immune cells that live in the brain, and when they misbehave, they cause neuroinflammation and they prevent damaged myelin from being repaired. This therapy is designed to reduce the number of malfunctioning microglia, potentially clearing the way for new and healthy microglia, which would promote myelin repair. And the third experimental therapy targets a protein that causes T cells to develop profiles that can cause neuroinflammation. This therapy would block that harmful T cell activity and instead protect the nerve cells in the central nervous system. The $24 million in funding is going to enable the company to develop these three experimental therapies to the point when they're ready for clinical testing. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Mirobalan Therapeutics, you'll find a link to their website in today's show notes. And if you're curious about the company's name, Mirobalan is the plant being held by the medicine Buddha whenever he's pictured. Recently published study results provide evidence that disability worsening among people living with primary progressive MS can be predicted by elevated levels of a specific protein called glial fibrillary acidic protein, or GFAP, pronounced GFAP, in the blood. GFAP provides structure to the cells that support nerve cell functions. Now, these cells are called astrocytes. And when astrocytes are damaged, this protein, this GFAP, is released into the blood and other body fluids where it can be measured. Researchers in Germany took blood samples from 243 study participants. 108 study participants were diagnosed with secondary progressive MS, and 135 study participants were diagnosed with primary progressive MS. Disability progression was defined as an increase in EDSS, or the time it takes an individual to walk 25 feet, or a worsening of finger dexterity as measured by the 9-hole peg test. And just as a quick reminder, EDSS stands for Expanded Disability Status Score. It's the method that neurologists use to quantify disability in MS. It uses a scoring system of between 0 and 10 to characterize the level of disability in someone who's living with MS. Data from the start of the study showed that compared to healthy individuals, study participants with progressive MS had higher blood levels of GFAP, GFAP, and another protein that we've talked about before, neurofilament light chain, or NFL. MRI scans revealed that having 8 or more lesions in the brain or spinal cord was associated with higher GFAP and NFL levels, and disease-modifying therapies had no effect on these elevated GFAP levels. Follow-up exams of all the study participants showed that higher levels of GFAP in the blood predicted a 2.88 times higher risk of disability progression in people with primary progressive MS. And this risk of disability progression was even greater among people with high levels of GFAP and low levels of neurofilament light chain, making it 4.3 times more likely that they would face disability progression. When someone is diagnosed with MS, perhaps especially a diagnosis of primary progressive MS, it's not unusual to immediately consider the worst possible outcomes when thinking about future disability. But that's not always going to be the case. And this study adds to the evidence that high levels of GFAP in the blood can put an end to that sort of speculation by more accurately predicting the likelihood of future disability progression among people who are living with primary progressive MS. Now, if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. If you're a regular listener, you may remember hearing me talk about the Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drug Company, an online pharmacy that sells generic drugs, founded by billionaire, entrepreneur, and venture capitalist Mark Cuban. The company's transparent pricing policy is what makes the Cost Plus Drug Company such a significant game changer. They start with the actual cost of manufacturing a generic drug, add a 15% markup plus any small fees that their manufacturing partners charge them for preparing the prescription for you, and that's it. If you're looking for a month's supply of the generic for Tecfidera, you'll find it priced at $14.20 instead of the retail price of $2,176.06. If you're looking for the generic for Gilenya, you'll find a month's supply priced at $295.03 instead of the retail price of $13,067.14. And if you're looking for the generic for Aubagio, you'll find a month's supply priced at $12.80 instead of the retail price of $3,552.30. And if you happen to use baclofen to manage MS-related spasticity, a bottle of 30 10-milligram tablets will cost you $6.20 instead of the retail price of $19.80. Now, this isn't a paid advertisement, but this company's business model creates opportunities for significant savings on so many generic medications that I consider it a public service to make sure you know about it. You can visit Mark Cuban's Cost Plus Drug Company at costplusdrugs.com, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. Speaking of generic drugs, the European Commission has withdrawn its marketing authorization for generics of Tecfidera, delaying that drug's availability in Europe until February 2025 at the earliest. Generic versions of Tecfidera from five different drug manufacturers had already been approved by the European Commission. Biogen, the manufacturer of Tecfidera, then began legal action to protect what they claim is their market protection rights. Biogen's patent protection for Tecfidera had been deemed invalid by a U.S. district court, making generic versions of the drug available for use here in the United States. The amount you pay out of pocket for your disease-modifying therapy, your symptom management medications, your visits with your neurologist and other members of your MS care team, and most any other cost associated with treating and managing your MS are all determined by your health insurance plan. Joining me in a moment to discuss how to maximize those benefits and minimize the surprises is my guest, MS Navigator Carla Turchek. Multiple sclerosis is an unpredictable disease that can impact every aspect of life. That's why it's so important for people affected by MS to understand their health insurance options and to make sure they stay insured even as their circumstances may change. Joining me to help us understand what your health insurance options are and how to keep your health insurance as affordable as possible is Carla Turchek. Carla is on the National MS Society's MS Navigator team, where she specializes in health insurance resources. I know many of you have heard me say this before, but I believe the MS Navigator program is the gold standard when it comes to delivering personalized support and solutions to what can be complicated situations that people affected by MS sometimes encounter. So I'm especially happy to say, welcome to the podcast, Carla.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, John.
Well, let's start with the basics. Can you tell us what the main sources of health insurance are?
Sure. So health insurance can come from private and public sources. Private insurance includes group health coverage, which is offered by an employer or an employee organization, such as a union. And it also includes plans purchased on the individual market, including the health insurance marketplace. And you might know the marketplace as the website healthcare.gov. Public sources of insurance, that would be government programs such as Medicare, Medicaid, and Veterans Affairs benefits.
So just to close the loop on our basic definitions, what do we mean when we talk about premiums, deductibles, and co-payments?
So a premium, that is the amount that you pay to your health insurance company every month just to keep your plan, basically just to stay enrolled in your plan. A deductible is the amount that you have to pay for covered health services before your plan begins to pay for services. The exception would be free preventive services. Those, your plan can still cover those before your deductible is met. And with deductibles, it's important to check with your specific plan for details on how it works. But generally, after you meet your deductible, you then share the cost of covered services with your insurance company. And you have a responsibility for the service. Your responsibility can either be a copayment or a co-insurance. So your insurance company pays their portion, and then there's a portion left over for you to pay. An example of a copay, that's a fixed amount. So an example would be if you go to the neurologist and you pay a $40 copay each time you visit the neurologist. A coinsurance, on the other hand, that's a percentage. So the example would be you go to the neurologist and your plan covers 80%, and then you would pay a 20% coinsurance, 20% of the cost of that service.
When you're living with a chronic illness, you really want to make sure your health insurance coverage checks the boxes that you need checked. So what should people living with MS consider when they choose a health plan?
There are so many things to consider. And something that I hear people living with MS ask often is, how do I do this? How do I decide on a plan when I don't know what's going to happen with my MS? And that's such a good question, because you cannot know with 100% certainty what you're going to need. But you can look at your current healthcare needs and you can estimate for the coming year. So think about what happened this year. Make a list of all the doctors that you see. How many doctor visits did you have this year? Were you hospitalized? Did you go to the emergency room often? Has your doctor talked about any tests or MRIs, anything like that, that you might need next year? Think about costs and covered benefits too. So if you have to have a hospital stay, what would your plan cover? What would you be required to pay for primary care doctors and specialist visits? Think about access to providers too. That is huge. So are your doctors in the plan's network? What about your preferred hospital? If you have a preferred pharmacy, can you still use those? Think about coverage for prescription medications as well. Each plan has a formulary, which is the list of prescription medications covered by that plan. Are your medications on the plan's formulary? And also, the formulary can be divided into tiers, which is really just different levels of coverage with different out-of-pocket costs. So see which tier your medications are on. What do those costs look like? What can you expect to pay when you go to the pharmacy? Some disease-modifying therapies are covered under a plan's pharmacy benefit, like the oral and the self-injectable therapies. But infusion therapies, those are covered under a medical benefit. So that's good to be aware of too if you take one of the infusions. There's a lot to consider, and the Society's MS Navigators can help walk you through all of those things to think about.
Well, while we're talking about coverage, is MS considered a pre-existing condition? And can an insurance company refuse to offer you coverage if you're living with MS?
So a pre-existing condition is defined as any health condition that exists before a person enrolls in a new health insurance policy. So yes, MS can be considered a pre-existing condition. Lots of different things are. Before the Affordable Care Act became law in 2010, health insurance companies often denied coverage to people with MS, or they would charge them significantly more just because they had a pre-existing condition. But that is no longer the case. Health insurance companies cannot refuse coverage. They cannot charge you more just because you have a pre-existing condition. There is one exception. If a person has a plan that they purchased before March of 2010, then that plan might be considered a grandfathered plan. And those plans may not include the Affordable Care Act's protections. They don't have to cover pre-existing conditions. I don't know how common that is, that people still might have one of these plans, but if you do have a grandfathered plan, that plan has to tell you that it's grandfathered, so it should not be a surprise to you.
Many people believe that if they've been diagnosed with MS, they therefore qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. So let's demystify this. First, can you tell us a difference between Medicare and Medicaid, and then explain whether having MS qualifies you for either or both of these programs?
Sure. That is such a good question. Their names sound so similar, and they can be easily mixed up. So Medicare is a federal government program. It provides health insurance for people age 65 and older. But people under 65 may be eligible for Medicare if they have a disability or if they are diagnosed with ALS or end-stage renal disease. Now, Medicaid, that is a state program. So each state operates its own Medicaid program according to federal guidelines. Medicaid provides health coverage for eligible low-income adults, children, elderly adults, and people with disabilities. But just having the diagnosis of MS does not make a person eligible. There is more to it for both Medicare and Medicaid. So to get Medicare, if you aren't yet 65 years old, then a person with MS would have to be receiving Social Security disability benefits for about 2 years. And with Medicaid, there are financial eligibility guidelines. So your income must be low enough, and there can be asset limits as well. Depending on the state, a disability determination from Social Security might be required too.
So where can our listeners learn more about the eligibility requirements for both Medicare and Medicaid?
I think that going straight to the source is the best way. It's one way that you can learn more. Talking directly with Medicare or Medicaid or looking at their websites, that can answer a lot of questions about eligibility. And this is especially important with Medicaid because the financial eligibility guidelines, those can be really different from state to state. But the National MS Society is here too. MS navigators can help you find the information. They can answer a lot of questions. And what I think is really important is that they can tell you when it's time to just go directly to Medicare or Medicaid to ask certain questions.
What can someone do if they lose their job, but they don't qualify for Medicaid? What sort of options do they have until they perhaps find another job?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that they can look at. One thing would be seeing if you are able to continue your coverage with COBRA. And if you've lost your health insurance within the last 60 days, that might be an option for you. So what COBRA is it's a law that gives workers and their families who lose health benefits the right to continue their group health benefits for limited periods of time under certain circumstances, such as job loss. You should receive something in the mail from your insurance company that lets you know if COBRA is an option and how to proceed. But COBRA coverage can be quite expensive. So another thing to look at would be the health insurance marketplace. You can contact the marketplace and you can explore the plans that they offer. And you can see if there might be something there that meets your needs, but maybe is more affordable than COBRA. But either way, whether you end up choosing COBRA or if you get a marketplace plan, you do have the ability to disenroll from them. And then when you start your new job, then you can join the health insurance plan that your new job offers.
You know, we've been talking about different options people have when it comes to their health insurance coverage. Unfortunately, some people have no options. It is simply unaffordable, no matter how they tend to look at it. There are people living with MS who are uninsured. If someone is in that situation, what kinds of steps can they take to limit their costs, limit their personal expense, should they have a relapse or perhaps need to pay for their disease-modifying therapy?
Yes, there are some steps that they can take. And you're so right, John, that it still happens all the time. It's really unfortunate. We talked about so many types of insurance today, but it happens. So one thing that somebody can do is talking to their neurologist or really any doctor that you can see, talk to them and find out if there's anything that they offer that might help lower their fees for people who don't have insurance. A health center is another helpful resource. So a health center provides affordable and accessible primary healthcare services. But it is usually just primary care. They don't offer neurology services, but this is a good resource that can help with any non-MS related medical care. But sometimes too, they can help to connect people to specialists in the community for lower cost care. Hospital care, there are certain hospitals known as safety net hospitals, and they might provide lower cost care or free emergency care. And with prescription medications, disease modifying therapies, and also other types of prescriptions too, you can check with the manufacturer of your medication to find out if they offer any type of assistance programs for people who don't have insurance. Drug discount cards and discount pharmacies, they can be a helpful resource too for getting more lower cost medications. And this is a lot. I know sometimes it can be overwhelming and people feel discouraged too if they haven't been able to find insurance. So we have all of these points listed out on the Society's website. You would just go to nationalmssociety.org/getcovered.
You know, I wish we had time to come up with every possible health insurance scenario so you could help all of our listeners understand their particular options. But MS Navigators excel at providing personalized support. So tell me, how can someone contact an MS Navigator?
They do excel at it. And I know there's so many questions out there, so please don't hesitate to reach out. And they would be happy to help. You can call an MS Navigator by calling the Society's 800 number, which is 1-800-344-4867. You can email the MS Navigators. That email address is contactusnmss@nmss.org. And you can chat online on our website, nationalmssociety.org. You can go right on the website and you can chat directly with an MS Navigator.
Well, Carla Turchek, thank you for all you do to improve the lives of people affected by MS. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/334. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.